Hello, folks, and once again, this is Pastor Brad Bailey with you from the Brandon Baptist Tabernacle in Brandon, Florida. We are studying the New Testament Baptist Confession on the podcast these days, and we are now arriving at paragraph number 10 in the New Testament Baptist Confession. Our policy thus far has been to discuss the confession paragraph by paragraph, sentence by sentence, and in some cases, if we need to, word by word, to make sure that what we are presenting to the world here is not just a strategic confession, but that the New Testament Baptist Confession will also be effective in its message. And so if you want to find the archived podcast dealing with these various paragraphs of the New Testament Baptist Confession, you can visit the website newtestamentbaptists.com, and they are archived in the media section of that website. Paragraph number 10 reads, "Preservation and or reformation depends on changing people's minds. Unfortunately, the claims of those galvanized in independent fundamentalism pride themselves in the fact that their minds are made up and cannot be changed. Furthermore, if all the rules of biblical persuasion were applied, the heritage and testimony of independent fundamentalism as we know it has been so sullied by scandal, radicalism, and extremism that it is unsalvageable." That's paragraph number 10 in the New Testament Baptist Confession. And it deals with several very important issues, one of which is the notion that the independent fundamental Baptist movement has deteriorated to the point that it is unsalvageable. And we certainly want to discuss that and make sure that we're not ruining the hope of those who are doing their best to invest their time and efforts in turning the movement back to the direction that it should be faced in. But that's going to take the changing of people's minds. And the culture around us seems to have had some effect on independent fundamental Baptists. As I stated last podcast, we are experiencing and observing an exodus. There are thousands of people leaving the fundamental Baptist church, and the reason that they are doing that is because of some of the things that we have listed here. For example, the scandal, the radicalism, the extremism, so on and so forth. This has caused many people to turn their backs on the fundamental Baptist movement altogether. I have personally, with my own two eyes, seen the scandal, radicalism, and extremism of fundamental Baptist churches split marriages. I have seen it turn children against their parents and parents against their children. These are the types of situations that keep me up at night. These are the things that make my blood really run cold because it is tampering with some of the true institutions that are given to us from God's Word. Before there was a church, there was a home. And when the church or denomination of the church begins to become toxic to the home, that creates a major decision that has to be made based on whether or not something is going to have to give. The independent fundamental Baptists are going to have to relent and get back to the middle road of Scripture, or the homes that are in those movements are going to have to make a hard decision to detach themselves from that toxic teaching. So preservation and reformation are going to depend on people changing their minds among fundamental Baptists. And unfortunately, most fundamental Baptists are rock, rib, hard-headed, unbending, unflinching, determined people. They see the changing of the mind as a weakness. They see someone changing their mind as the manifestation of someone who is ungodly. And I'm not using those terms loosely. That is literally the way that it is presented among most fundamental Baptists. And sometimes the changing of the mind is based on spiritual development. Sometimes we change our minds because we have been confronted about some sin or some sinful behavior, and it demands that we repent of that behavior, which is, in essence, a changing of the mind that leads to a change of action, a radical change of mind that leads to a change of action. And so much of what is being presented in the New Testament Baptist Confession comes in the form of a repentance. It comes in the form of us telling the world that these are things that deserve to be repented of. These are erroneous behaviors, sinful behaviors that should not have been tolerated and should be repented of if you are engaged in these types of behaviors. And so that kind of a change of mind is going to be uncommon among fundamental Baptists. They claim to be galvanized in the truth. They claim to be unyielding because they are in the truth. And if they were in the truth, that would be an admirable characteristic. But because of the fact that there is so much error among fundamental Baptists, that creates for us a huge problem. And their minds cannot be changed in most cases. And so that creates for us the decision that we have to make. What are we going to do with ourselves in regard to fundamental Baptists? Furthermore, if all the rules of biblical persuasion were applied, the heritage and testimony of independent fundamentalism as we know it has been sullied by scandal, radicalism, extremism, and that is why it's unsalvageable. This is the closing paragraph, the closing sentence, I should say, in paragraph number 10. Let's talk about the scandal. Almost every headquarters of the quote-unquote higher learning system of fundamental Baptists has been riddled with scandal. If you go to Indiana, if you go to Jacksonville, Florida, if you go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, almost every base of education has enormous scandal underlying that institution. And these colleges, these places of higher learning that are based on local church authority, in many, many cases, they detach themselves from the local church and they become a parachurch organization. And when they do that, ultimately they lead themselves away from the protections that are promised in Scripture to the local church. Jesus did not say, "Upon this rock I will build my college." He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So that promise is not made to Bible colleges. That promise is made to the local church. And as these Bible colleges, in many cases, personality-wise, outgrew the local church that they were based in, they created a tension there that had to be addressed, and oftentimes the colleges began to eclipse their home churches. And that became very dangerous for fundamental Baptists. And so scandal was notorious. There are scandals that include sex scandals that were covered up, wherein minors were being offended sexually. Minors were being exploited and abused sexually. And when I say minors, in some cases we're talking about small children, all the way up into the high school age levels, wherein girls who were modest and girls who were taught to be quiet and to be keepers at home and girls who were taught not to have a voice in the church, they were taught that they had to be silent in the church. They were being victimized by pastors, associate pastors, youth pastors, Bible college professors, and these poor girls had no voice. They had no recourse, no way to snap back at what was being perpetrated against them. So the scandal, just in that one category by itself, is off the scale. And that doesn't include the secret things that have been covered up. Numerous scandals are now beginning to be divulged, sadly, by the secular media, because fundamental Baptists have so effectively covered these things up in the name of pastoral authority, in the name of protecting the brotherhood, the fraternity, in the name of covering these things up for the cause of preserving the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever madness was going on in their head at the time, they thought that it was better to cover up scandalous activity rather than to expose it and deal with it harshly as the Bible teaches that it should be dealt with. And in many, many cases, they chose to handle legal cases in-house. Cases of embezzlement or cases of sexual scandal were handled in-house, inside the four walls of their church, instead of taking it to the legal authorities where the Bible says that it should have been taken to begin with. So the scandal is off the scale. It is everything from sexual to financial. There's one very, very famous pastor from the state of Indiana who, in his own personal message dealing with finances and dealing with banking, he spoke of financial creativity that is embezzlement. It is definitely and conclusively embezzlement. And those things were the common practice of fundamental Baptists for many, 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 many years. And because of pastoral authority or the exaggeration of pastoral authority or the overreaches of pastoral authority, no one could question the pastor. No one could make an issue out of those things without just being booted out or put into the third row. So the scandal abounded. And then the radicalism, that's the second word that's used here in the final sentence of this 10th paragraph in the New Testament Baptist Confession, radicalism. Radicalism meaning that many fundamental Baptists redefined fidelity to the Scripture. And they exaggerated fidelity to the Scripture, and they redefined they literally came up with their own terms to describe what fidelity to the Scripture meant. And so radicalism includes ultra-separatism, in which people are trained and taught to believe that somehow you are earning the favor of God, that somehow or another that you are obtaining a more favorable position with God when you normalize the standards of fundamental Baptists and when you assimilate to the culture of fundamental Baptists. And that would include things like dress standards, which I am personally a fan of. I think a church should have some dress code. A church should have some kind of a policy, but there's a big, big difference between a biblical standard and an organizational conviction. We have convictions here at the Brandon Baptist Tabernacle. If you are singing on the platform in our church, there's a way that we expect you to dress. But that's an organizational standard that we have because we're trying to keep a uniformity in the services rather than invade into the personal lives and personal decisions of our church members, which we choose not to do. We do not get into those things that are the responsibility of mom and dad and the priesthood of the believer issues. But the radicalism of independent fundamental Baptists permits them to tamper in every room of the house. And I have seen this again with my own eyes. I have seen fundamental Baptist pastors who have gotten into people's kitchen. And proverbially speaking, they expect a certain diet. They expect a certain look. They expect a certain fitness to their people. And I have seen them get into the living room of our houses. They expect you to only participate in the entertainment that they have approved, only participate in the entertainment that they have signed off of. And in many cases, that doesn't include the movie theater. That doesn't include Hollywood movies. And in some cases, there's such a double standard there because in a lot of fundamental Baptist movements, they will approve of a person watching a DVD of a Hollywood-produced movie, but they will not permit that person to go to an actual movie theater, which contribution-wise, whether you're purchasing the DVD or going to the theater, it makes no difference. There's still a financial support that is going to Hollywood that really ruins the argument that they're trying to make. It collapses on itself. But this is a type of radicalism. Radicalism also defined among fundamental Baptists would include when they get into the bedroom. They don't just want to be in your kitchen. They don't just want to be in your living room. They want to be in your bedroom. And they start enforcing standards on things like birth control. They get very, very personal. I've heard with my own two ears, I have heard sermons from fundamental Baptist pastors that were invasive to the bedroom, and they came across with commandments that were supposedly built on Scripture that were a complete misrepresentation and a complete misquotation of Scripture, misapplication of Scripture. And so scandal is a major, major blight on the testimony of fundamental Baptists. Radicalism, the controlling pastor, the pastor who tells you how to spend your money, the pastor who tells you how many children you should have or should not have, the pastor who controls the way that you raise your children. This is the kind of radicalism that we're facing today. And then, generally speaking, extremism. And oftentimes, that is the way that fundamental Baptists are viewed. They're viewed as extremist in almost every area. And some of the most terrible scandals that have developed. You see this, the ugliness of this extremism, when the people who see the head of their church crash and burn. Maybe their pastor has been caught in some sex scandal, or maybe their college has been exposed as being the nucleus of some sex scandal that is going on. And when people poke a microphone in the faces of the common membership of the church and say, what are your thoughts on what has happened? Even in the face of this moral collapse, people will say, I still trust my pastor. I still believe that my pastor is God's man. And whatever the pastor says we need to do, that is what I'm going to do. That extremism of pastoral authority, I've seen it happen on numerous occasions, not the least of which I remember one particular illustration of a man who was giving an illustration about sin in his sermon. And the sermon was very topical, very elementary in its content, even if it qualified as elementary. And the sermon about sin, he used an illustration. He had a glass of juice on the platform, on the pulpit there where he was preaching. And when he exposed this glass of juice to the people, he said, this juice has poison in it. It has strychnine in this juice. And he asked the question. He said, you would be a fool to partake of this, wouldn't you? You'd be a fool to partake of this juice if you knew it had poison in it. That's his illustration about sin. So he arbitrarily turns to one of the associate pastors that's sitting on the platform with him, and he says, would you be foolish enough to drink this? If I told you to drink this, would you be foolish enough to drink this? And unexpectedly, the associate pastor responded and said, he called the pastor's name. He said, Pastor so-and-so, if you told me to drink it, I would drink it. And that is literally the blind loyalty to pastoral authority that qualifies fundamental Baptists as extremists. And these are the qualities, these are the detriments. These are the liabilities among fundamental Baptists that make them what I believe unsalvageable. So this is the 10th paragraph in the New Testament Baptist Confession. We would love for you to go and visit the website. There are resources there that you can take advantage of, including the archived audio files of all of these podcasts going all the way back to paragraph number 1 in the New Testament Baptist Confession. Once again, this is Pastor Brad Bailey with you. The website, newtestamentbaptists.com. Join us again next time.